The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Today on Ring of Truth with Pastor Dan Sexton.
It's on the altar that your sin is dealt with. Your sin is judged by a sacrifice. So there's bronze on the outside, but there's gold on the inside. And gold is the metal of deity in the Bible. And so we see here the ark was made of wood and covered inside and out with gold. And it's a picture of the humanity and the deity of Jesus Christ. He was both man and God. He was the God-man. He was fully God. He was fully man.
What a fascinating parallel. In today's message, Pastor Dan will help us see the connection between the design of the tabernacle, prescribed nearly 1,500 years before Jesus is coming, and his divine nature. He was a humble, common man, and you wouldn't have thought anything of him just from looking at him. He wasn't wealthy. He wasn't a model or a bodybuilder or a politician. He was a carpenter, and there was nothing remarkable about his appearance, yet he was the incarnation of God. Now here's Pastor Dan in the book of Exodus, chapter 25, for today's edition of Ring of Truth.
Plenty of godly people in the Bible that are wealthy, but he doesn't give us wealth just so we can be wealthy. It's not wealth for wealth's sake. God gives us wealth so that we can use our wealth for the kingdom of God and use it as stewards, so that we can store up treasure in heaven by using our treasure here on earth for kingdom business, for kingdom work. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you have treasure in heaven, if you're using your wealth and your resources for kingdom business, kingdom work, and you're storing up treasure in heaven, guess what? That's where your heart's going to be. That's where your mind's going to be. Your thoughts will be on heaven. Now, let me show you what happens when Moses asks the congregation of Israel to give an offering for the building of the tabernacle. Turn with me over to chapter 35 of Exodus. Chapter 35. So Moses explains to the children of Israel the need. And chapter 35, verse 21, then everyone came whose heart was stirred and everyone whose spirit was willing, and they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service and for the holy garments. Verse 22, they came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart, and brought earrings and nose rings, rings and necklaces and jewelry of gold, that is, every man who made an offering of gold to the Lord, and every man with whom was found blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, and goat's hair, red skins of rams, and badger skins, they brought them. Everyone who offered an offering of silver or bronze brought the Lord's offering, and everyone with whom was found acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. All the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands and brought what they had spun of blue, purple, and scarlet and fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred with wisdom spun yarn of goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones and the stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate of the high priest, and spices and oil for the light, for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a freewill offering to the Lord, all the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material for all kinds of work, which the Lord, by the hand of Moses, had commanded to be done. So as God stirred people's hearts, the Spirit stirred people, they brought all of these items. Now look over in chapter 36. Watch what happens. Chapter 36, verse 2. Then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan, these are the craftsmen that are going to build it, in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work, and they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. And so they continued bringing to him freewill offerings every morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing, and they spoke to Moses. Look at verse 5, saying, "The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do." So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, "Let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary." And the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done. Indeed, too much. The people brought more than they needed. They brought so much that Moses had to make an announcement saying, "No mas, please stop bringing us stuff. You know, we don't have any place to put it," kind of thing. We've got more than we need here. Just amazing how the Lord worked in their hearts to provide for the tabernacle. Now turn back to chapter 25. In chapter 25, we come to verse 8, which I've already read earlier, but I'm going to read it again. God says, "Take up an offering to build a tabernacle." God says, "And let them make me a sanctuary, a sacred space, that I may dwell among them." You should underline that in your Bible. This is the purpose of the tabernacle. This is why God wanted them to build a tabernacle. He asked them to build a sacred space where he could dwell in the midst of his redeemed people. This is God's desire. This is God's heart. His desire is to dwell among his people and to enjoy a close, personal, daily relationship with his redeemed people. This is what God desires with you. This is what God desires with me. He wants to be at the center of your life. He wants to have a close, personal relationship with you, a daily relationship with you, and enjoy fellowship with you. He's the one coming up with this. He's the one asking for them to build a temple or a tabernacle for him to dwell in their midst. If you remember with me your Bible, going back to Genesis, when God created the first man, Adam, he put Adam in the Garden of Eden, and God dwelt with Adam in the garden, and Adam and Eve enjoyed fellowship with God. They enjoyed a relationship with God, but then you know what happened. Adam sinned. Adam disobeyed God, and man's fellowship with God was broken by man's sin. And Adam and Eve were put out of the garden, and that intimacy, that closeness, that daily relationship with God, that daily fellowship that Adam and Eve and God enjoyed together, it was broken. But God still longs to have that fellowship with man. God still longs to dwell with man. And so now God instructs man to create a sanctuary where he can once again dwell with man. Do you see how he's trying to restore back here what man lost in the Garden of Eden? And he's asking man, now build a sanctuary so I can dwell among you, and I can enjoy fellowship with you, and I can be with you and be your God, and you'll be my people, so that we can have that again. And later God will do the same thing with the temple built by Solomon in Jerusalem. But as you know, man will forsake God and turn their back on God. And then after the temple, Solomon's temple, God's greatest revelation of himself was the person of Jesus Christ. God once again wanted to dwell again among mankind, dwell in the midst of man. And so God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ, and he dwelt among mankind, desiring that relationship, desiring that intimacy, that closeness, that fellowship, that oneness with man. God becomes a man in the person of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We saw his glory. God dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. In 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy, if I can find it, 1 Timothy 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. There it says, 1 Timothy 3:16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh." Paul says, this is without question. This is without controversy. This is without debate. God was manifested in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ. God came down from heaven and dwelt among man because he desires a relationship with us. But Jesus was despised and he was rejected. God came to dwell among mankind and man crucified God and tried to kill him. But then the third day Jesus rose again from the dead. The Bible tells us that today God dwells in individual believers by his Spirit. We are indwelt by the Spirit of God. That's how God is dwelling among man, by his Spirit. It also says in the New Testament that God dwells in his church corporately by the Spirit. Jesus said, "Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." So God dwells in the church corporately. One day in the future, the Bible tells us, God will create a new heavens and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. He'll create the eternal state where God will dwell with mankind, with the redeemed, forever and ever. And he will essentially restore back what Adam lost in the garden, and God will dwell with man. In Revelation chapter 21, Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." That's the eternal state. That's where we're going to live with God forever and ever and ever if you've trusted Christ for salvation. And God will be our God, and we'll be with his people, and his tabernacle will be in our midst, and we'll dwell with him forever and ever and ever in the New Jerusalem. That's what his desire is for you. That's what his desire is for me.
We'll return to Pastor Dan's message in just a moment. First, Pastor Dan would like to tell you about the new Calvary Chapel Ellicott City app.
We recently launched an app for our church, and we're really excited about it. It's designed to keep you connected to our radio ministry, Ring of Truth, as well as to our church, Calvary Chapel. And get this, we have over 1,200 sermons on the app. The app is super convenient, it's easy to use, and allows you to listen to Bible studies anytime, anywhere. So download the app right now, search for Calvary Chapel Ellicott City in your app store, or just follow the links on our website at calvaryec.com.
What a great way to stay connected to Scripture. Now, back to today's message on Ring of Truth.
He's the one that wants this fellowship. He's the one who longs for closeness and intimacy and relationship with us. He's the one pursuing. So look at verse 9. Here in Exodus 25, God asks for a dwelling place. And then he says in verse 9, "Make it according to all that I show you." That is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. You should underline the word pattern. That's used there twice. The tabernacle is to be constructed precisely according to the pattern that God shows Moses while Moses is up on Mount Sinai with him. Notice God uses the word pattern twice in verse 9. He's going to use the word pattern again down in verse 40. And he's going to use it another time over in chapter 26, verse 30. He's very concerned about them following the pattern of this tabernacle. 17 times we will read the phrase, "as the Lord commanded Moses," regarding the construction of the tabernacle. As the Lord commanded Moses. Nothing in the construction of the tabernacle was left to the imagination of man. Man could not add something to the tabernacle. Man could not take things away from the tabernacle. Man was to stick to the blueprints that Moses received from the Lord on Mount Sinai. He couldn't make any changes at all to the tabernacle. Everything had to be according to the pattern that Moses received. Now, why was this so important? Why is God being such a stickler on this to make sure that they follow the pattern Moses received from the Lord? I'll tell you why. Because in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, Hebrews 8, 5, we're told that the tabernacle was a pattern. It was patterned after heaven. It's patterned after heaven, the true dwelling place of God. The tabernacle that is built, that's just a copy. But the true tabernacle, the true dwelling place of God, is in heaven. And so Moses must be careful to follow the blueprints precisely because he is building a copy of what is in heaven. Now, this is another good reason why we should study the tabernacle in depth, because one day, if you've trusted Jesus Christ for salvation, you will be in heaven and you will see the true tabernacle of God that's not made with hands, that's in heaven. And you don't want to sound like some hillbilly up there saying, "What in the world is this thing?" Right? And so the Israelites will build the tabernacle according to the pattern Moses receives from the Lord. And then the glory of God, listen, the glory of God will dwell in the tabernacle. God blesses what is done according to his word. God blesses what is done according to his word. And that's true for an individual Christian. It's true for a church. God will bless and fill a church with his presence when the church does things according to his word. And so now, beginning in verse 10, the Lord gives instructions for the construction of the furniture for the tabernacle. Please note that. God doesn't begin with giving instructions for the tent or for the building as we would today. He begins with the furniture that's going to go in the building, that's going to go in the tabernacle. And he begins with the Ark of the Covenant. As we read through the description in the book of Exodus, God begins with the Ark of the Covenant. He begins with where he dwells. We would begin where we dwell, outside the tabernacle, and work our way towards the Holy of Holies. God dwells in the Holy of Holies. And so he begins with the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies, and he's going to describe the tabernacle from the Ark of the Covenant, from the Holy of Holies, outward towards the gate. He's moving our direction in this description. He starts where he's dwelling, and he's moving towards man. That's a picture of grace. That's a picture of grace. He begins where he dwells, and he moves towards man. And unless God comes to us, we would have no access to God. Man cannot approach God because God is holy and we are sinful, and our sin separates us from God, the Bible says. So God must come to man if we are going to have a relationship with him, because there's no way we can come to God. He has to condescend down to our level. It's impossible for man to ascend up to his level. And we see that here in verse 10 now. "And they shall make an ark of acacia wood. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its width, and 1.5 cubits its height." And so here we have the Ark of the Covenant here. The Ark of the Covenant is mentioned 185 times in the Old Testament. And you may know it from the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark. Maybe that's your only exposure to it. And we're told here the measurements of the Ark, it's a box, and it's measured in cubits. A cubit, now, if you hold your hand up like this, a cubit is the distance from the tip of your tallest finger to your elbow. That's a cubit. And so a cubit was about 18 inches. Obviously, if you're taller, you're going to have a longer measurement there. If you're shorter, you're going to have a shorter measurement. But it was roughly 18 inches. And again, the Ark is a box. It's approximately 3.75 feet long, 2.25 feet wide, and 1.5 feet high. And it's made of acacia wood from acacia trees. Acacia trees were plentiful in the wilderness. There's still many of them there today. It's the only building material around. There's not a lot of choices in the desert. So acacia trees were really their only available resource of wood to use. So that's what they use. Verse 11, and you shall overlay it with pure gold inside and out. You shall overlay it, and you shall make on it a molding of gold all around. So the ark was made of both. Please note this. It's made of both acacia wood and gold. Now, acacia wood is a very, very durable wood. The ancient Egyptians built ships out of acacia wood. Acacia wood doesn't rot. It doesn't decay. It's incorruptible. Acacia wood speaks of the humanity of Jesus Christ. The humanity of Jesus Christ. Like acacia wood, Jesus was incorruptible. He was without sin. He was perfect in all of his ways. The gold of the ark speaks of his deity. Speaks of his deity. Gold is the metal of deity in the Bible. And as we're going to see, there's gold on the inside of the tabernacle. There's bronze on the outside out in the courtyard, like with the altar and the laver. Bronze is the metal of judgment. It's on the altar that your sin is dealt with. Your sin is judged by a sacrifice. So there's bronze on the outside, but there's gold on the inside. And gold is the metal of deity in the Bible. And so we see here the ark was made of wood and covered inside and out with gold. And it's a picture of the humanity and the deity of Jesus Christ. He was both man and God. He was the God-man. He was fully God. He was fully man. And Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4, if you're taking notes, Hebrews 9:4 tells us the ark was not empty. The ark contained three things. It contained the tablets of the covenant that Moses receives. It contained a jar of manna, and it contained Aaron's rod. And all three items point beautifully to Jesus Christ. Remember, I told you the tabernacle is all about Jesus Christ. The tablets of the covenant remind us that Jesus came to fulfill the law. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. The manna reminds us that Jesus is what? The bread of life. The bread of life. John chapter 6, he's the true bread from heaven. And Aaron's rod reminds us that Jesus is our great high priest, our great high priest. If you remember the story in Numbers chapters 16 and 17, when Aaron's leadership as high priest, it was challenged. And if you remember in the story, if not, you can go back and read it, Numbers 16 and 17, Aaron's rod budded and blossomed, proving that he was the rightful high priest. His dead rod came back to life, proving Aaron was God's choice to be the high priest of Israel. And like Aaron's rod that came back to life, Jesus was resurrected from the dead, proving he is God's high priest. He is God's chosen high priest. Look at the end of verse 11 again. The end of verse 11. The end of the verse, it says, and you shall make on it a molding of gold all around. If you have the old King James, it says a crown of gold all around it. And so this Ark of the Covenant, which is a picture of Jesus Christ, it has a crown on it. Jesus Christ will return to the earth as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to rule over all the earth. And it tells us in the book of Revelation that he will be crowned with many crowns when he comes. And it says that we will cast our crowns at his feet. And so the Ark of the Covenant, which is a picture of Jesus Christ, it has a crown on it.
He asked me how I know, and I say it rings truer than the finest crystal.
Ring of Truth just brought you another great verse-by-verse teaching with Pastor Dan Sexton. Aren't you glad you stuck around to listen? We trust today's words touched your life in a very real and personal way. Pastor Dan has been staying in the book of Exodus with its stories of redemption and so much more. You don't want to miss a single episode. And if by chance you already have, just go to calvaryec.com to catch up. While you're there, check out our app to get other messages. Follow us on Facebook and iTunes too. If you don't know that much about us or what we believe, make sure to visit the About tab. It will fill you in on what we're all about here. Are you in the Maryland area? Come visit us either Sunday morning or Thursday evening. Times can be found at calvaryec.com, so make sure to go there now. Meeting you face-to-face would be such a privilege. Our time with you has come to an end today, and so for now we say goodbye. But before we go, would you give us a call at 410-491-4592 and let us know how this program spoke to you today? Again, that's 410-491-4592. We always appreciate hearing from our listeners. Thank you from Columbia, Maryland, for listening to Ring of Truth.
I see the signs and I recognize the hands that craft and am. Well, I know because I know His voice, and it only takes
General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.